Scarborough Conference, 1980. Open Secrets of Prayer. Session D, The Personal Pledge, by Keith Lewis.
Is it about praising? Luke 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He wasn't far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Oh, that we might experience the same faith and trust in our Lord Jesus as that centurion.
Look at your things. I'm due to do the personal pledge, the fourth of the PPs. And I'll be fair and say to you, and perhaps you'll be relieved at this, that I'm hoping that I won't be long and that I'll try and make it light, in the sense that you must be flagging if you're not, you're, well, I know you're marvellous anyway, but you know what I mean. And I want us to think particularly this evening of the marvel of the access to God that we have in prayer. Alright, we had a laugh about God is still on the phone. But in actual fact, in principle, that is the picture, isn't it? God is more willing to listen to our prayers than we ever are to seek him. And that amazing access is the personal pledge, if you like, that he's given to us, that we have only to ask and to seek and to knock, and he is immediately listening. Indeed, it's one of the messages that's come over from our sharing together and then your reporting back, isn't it? That we've this tremendous access to God in prayer. And I think we have to be honest and say that it's because of the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that God opened a way of access to us through faith. We become his children, born again into a special covenant relationship as the people of God. And just then, as a father has immediately grants access to his son, so we have that sense of access. And that's a marvellous privilege. I once read in a book that Abraham Lincoln's son, who was Robert Lincoln, was at school and he had a friend the whole of his years at school. And his friend, they had the back two seats in the back row. Boys always have the back row in schools, you know. That's the best of having co-educational schools. You can always have the girls up in the front and the boys can always sit in the back. I hope you still do it that way, but it's a good thing too. And besides, it gives the boys a good chance of sizing up the girls, and they need to learn how to size up the girls anyway. I'm a great believer in co-education. Anyway, there it was. And Bob Lincoln and his friend sat in the back row. And they became great friends right through their school life. And then, as often happens, they went their several ways. But they always exchanged annual letters at Christmas, which is often the way. I exchange annual letters with friends I had in the forces back, what, 30 years ago. Amazing how you keep it going, isn't it? And that happened here. And then the American Civil War broke out. And Bob Lincoln's friend was conscripted into the US Army, the American Army. And one day he wrote to his old friend Bob Lincoln one Christmas, describing the tenuous kind of existence he had, just a private in the American Army, in the American Civil War, fighting in difficult conditions with much privation and all the rest. And Bob Lincoln got this letter from his friend and he said, goodness. Oh, and he wrote off straight away to the, you know, rank and name, to the address that he had, which was only a post office box address, you know, like they often have in the army, didn't know where he was. And he wrote back and he said, if you let me know the details of the actual unit you're with, instead of just a post office box, I can see my father, and I can arrange for you to get a commission, and you can be posted into a better situation, just you let me know. Bob Lincoln got this letter, and he thought that would be really a bit of favouritism, really, but he confessed that he kept that in his wallet all his years in the American Army. And what comfort it gave him, that if things really got to the end of their tether, he could always write to Bob Lincoln, because he had immediate access with the President of the United States. And I sometimes think that that's a picture for you and me. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, you and I have immediate access to our Heavenly Father. And prayer is as natural as that. You and I not only know the Son to the point of being related by adoption, but we've been made into the very family of God, and we've been given his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who is also able to intercede on our behalf before the throne of God. So in that sense, we've got a double access. No wonder we can lift up our hands to God and just praise him for this glorious access that we've got. Now that's where I thought you'd like to think that I brought my access card. You see, I know that you're only little children at heart, and you like to have a children's talk, don't you? So I thought tonight you'd have your own children's talk, and I've brought my access card, you see, because this access card tells me four things. Yes, it does. The first thing that access card tells me is what I call the principle of support. I told you this was the last address of the day. It's the PS of my addresses, the principle of support tonight, you see? The PS. Now, now you see, that means, does it not, that if I go into a shop — we didn't, I kept it out of the way this afternoon when we went down to shop in the High Street — but if I went into a shop and Mrs. Lewis had found a pair of shoes that fitted her — that would be a miracle anyway, but anyway, if she found a pair of shoes that fitted her, we could say, do you take access? And they would say immediately, here's the shoes, because they would recognise that the bank will come in on Monday, the very day that they pay that little slip in at the bank, the bank will come in and pay them. And they get settled money on Monday, the day they pay the slip in. Now, in other words, that says to Freeman Hardin Willis, or whoever we go to, that the bank will pay them. And it doesn't matter if I'm a rogue, doesn't really matter if it's been stolen and a thief is presenting it. The bank will still stand behind that card and say, I'll pay Freeman Hardin Willis. The principle of support. Now, isn't that just what Almighty God does when you pray? Your prayer is first of all heard and answered on the basis of God's capital love for mankind in general, and for you in particular. God, in effect, says, if you ask in the name of Jesus, to his glory, then I will honour my pledge. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, said Jesus, John chapter 16. John 15, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. It's this abiding in the Father that gives us this personal pledge in our prayer. We do need to remember that God does everything by prayer, and nothing without it. And what a wonderful means of access it is. I wonder if we can look for a minute at the book of the Revelation, chapter 8. you just dig in Revelation 8, that'll save you just dropping off to sleep now that it's got nice and warm in here and the windows are shut. But now you'll remember, if you just keep your thumb in Revelation chapter 8, what went just before. We won't read Revelation 7, but Revelation, well, chapters 6 and 7 give us the narrative of the opening of the seals. Now this was a vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos. And first of all, he saw a vision of a white horse and its rider. You find that in chapter 6. And then he sees a red horse and its rider, and then a black horse and its rider and a pair of scales. We've already thought about a pair of scales. Has the same picture here. And then he sees a white horse or a pale horse with its rider's name Death. And then he sees a vision of souls of men who've been slain for the word of God and the witness they'd borne. And then, on the opening of the sixth seal, there's an earthquake with the sun darkened and the moon turned into blood. And then the great multitude of the redeemed start singing the praises of the Lamb in the midst of the throne. This is the Hallelujah chorus, if you like, par excellence. And then comes, and you know, it's all building up to a great crescendo of imagery. And then at that moment of ecstasy, that moment of the grand command performance of God, if you like, at the crucial moment when the last seal is going to be opened, what happens? Everybody says, well, we've had white horses and red horses and black horses and visions and souls of men and an earthquake and the sun darkened and the moon into blood. Whatever's going to happen when the seventh seal is opened? And breathtakingly, they open the seventh seal, and at verse 8, and chapter 8, verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. Why? And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then, we read, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. The grand command performance of God was a silence in heaven for half an hour to listen to the prayers of the saints. Now you tell me that prayer doesn't matter. You tell me that we haven't got access to God. That there isn't a principle of support here. Why God even silences all the majesty of heaven in that final judgment to hear the prayers of the saints. When you're not in the mood to pray one morning, just you stop and think of that and say, my goodness, and you'll get into the mood all right. Because God is so wanting you to use the access and to be a person of prayer. So don't you ever scorn uplifted hands to prayer in God. God commands the silence of heaven to listen. And you've got access because God is God. You can rely upon his sovereign will to hear your prayer. Just as I can rely upon my access card to honour my purchases. Mind you, the fact I'm going to get the bill later on is where the access card falls down. But, you know, there it is there. Listen to Charles Wesley's logic in one of our hymns as he sings, come in, this is why I don't want some of the great hymns of Wesley to go out of this book. Come in thy pleading spirit down to us who for thy coming pray. Of all thy gifts we ask but one, the constant power to pray. Indulge us, Lord, in this request. Thou canst not then deny the rest. Now that's superb logic, isn't it? Only one request, Lord, and that's the key that opens the door to everything else. Prayer. That's resting on the promises of God. That's the super access, isn't it? Principle of support. And then I come secondly to my access card, if you want to jot it down and think about it. And it's My second point is the personality who stands, the second PS. The personality who stands. Now, whether you know it or not, this card has got a limit on it. In other words, I can go into a shop and I can spend up to a certain amount on that, and over that amount, they won't do it. They'll say, sorry, you can't have any more. And if you're a poor, despairing student, you'll most likely have a limit of £100. And if you happen to be somebody more important, you might have 1,000 or two. And it's there. But there's a personality behind that. And on the personality is the grant, the limit. I'm going to tell you that we went into a shop to buy a piano once. Now, you don't usually buy pianos by access cards, but we do, you see. We've been saving up, you see. And so we said, oh, well, that's all right, use the access card. So we went in there, and the chap looked at us, and he said, you're not going to use this, are you? So we said, yeah. So he said, last time anybody tried a credit card to buy a piano, he said, they referred it. So I said, oh, I won't refer this, you see. So I just handed it over, you see, because I wasn't borrowing anything, you see. Handed it over, and he rang up Southend, which is the head office of Access, you see. And he said, sorry, sir, they want to speak to you. They did too. So I said, but you're not going to tell me that my limit's only that. So he said, oh, well, wait a minute, I see, sir, that you work for us and that de-dom. And he said, well, so I said, don't you worry about it, I'll sort it out on Monday morning then. So he said, well, all right, yes, fine. And so we got our piano all right, but there was a limit to this, you see. And they said, yours is more than the limit. So, you know, that's a reminder that the card depends on the personality to whom it's been issued. And if we're thinking of the Almighty God answering our prayer, and he does, let's be honest, let's be factual, and say that he takes knowledge of us. Don't think for one minute that you can live a profligate life and just turn on the spiritual heat when it suits you, and then you'll be really effective before God, because it doesn't work that way. This is, first of all, one reason why we need to be in God's intimate family circle. If we're really going to enjoy a pleading privilege with him, we've got to come to know his will, for example. We've got to learn to pray aright, as we sang this morning, to understand his ways and get a feel of the things for which we ought to pray. We've got to come to know our credit limit, like that lovely illustration we had of the little boy who said, please, Lord, I don't want to go to Sunday school tomorrow afternoon or whatever. You see, his credit limit wasn't good enough for that one, you see. James tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is a personality who stands when we pray, and the nature of the prayer does count. J. Wilbur Chapman was once preaching in Hereford, England, for days when there was a signal absence of power and any presence of conviction amongst the people in the mission where he was conducting in Hereford. And then John Hyde, Praying Hyde, joined him in the mission. And, said Dr. Wilbur Chapman, when John Hyde came to Hereford, God came to Hereford, because God and Hyde seemed to walk together. And when Chapman made the appeal, the night after Hyde was in the town, 150 men came to Christ. And frankly, the experience of the saints show that there are men who have a depth, and women who've got a depth with God. And there is an attitude of heart towards God that finds expression sometimes, even in silence. But the depth of praying is such that it's there. The deep-seated prayer knows an inner time with God that doesn't always have to be formulated in words. And this is where the personality who stands before God, pleading as it were with uplifted hands, expresses himself in an attitude. You heard, I suppose, of the famous preacher who was in his study, one of the Moody Morgan family, who was in his study, and his little five-year-old son knew from mother's teaching that he was not allowed to disturb daddy before 11 o'clock in the study. That was daddy's time when he had to be left alone, for very good reasons. and the minister was in his study. A mummy had gone out shopping, and young 5-year-old son was at home playing with his jigsaw puzzle in the dining room, but father was in the study. And little John did feel lonely, and so he crept round to the study door. You can almost imagine what's happening. Mummy was out. He opened the catch and he peered round the door, and his conscience was troubled him, because he knew he wasn't allowed to disturb Daddy. And just one look of his big brown eyes at Daddy, and Daddy turns round and he says, "Daddy, I will sit here all the time and say nothing if you'll only let me be here with you. I love you." Now what can you do to that, eh? You know the reaction, don't you? There's the standing of the suppliant gave him access, didn't it? Now how much more shall your Heavenly Father to you?
For continuation of this message, please turn the cassette over at this point. Do not fast wind in either direction.